Can you believe in a finite object possessing infinite power? Or that a mineral can be proclaimed the medicine of the 21st century? Or that the power of nature can win over the ignorance of man? If you can, you will know why our mission is to get Shungite to the masses. You are entering the Shungite Zone. This is the Shungite Radio Show produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. And welcome to the Shungite Show. It is May 28th, 2019. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Derek Condit and Barbara Meneses. guys, are you there? And good morning. Or good evening, because Barbara's in Spain and it's 6 o'clock there, 12 o'clock Eastern. And for Derek, it's 9 o'clock Pacific.
So, 9 a.m., exactly. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon. I'm here.
Awesome. Okay, Derek, again, you're a little low. You didn't sound real. Are you up on your mic?
Yeah, let me check and see what's going on here.
Just talk to me. Talk to me. One,
okay.
Two, three.
How about testing? One, two, three. Is that getting any better?
Yeah, it's better. How about? Yeah.
Okay.
I can hear you fine, Derek. It's fine.
Okay, perfect.
All righty. So last week we did a show with Barbara, and the response from that show was very impressive. A lot of people on Shungite Reality Facebook group came back and asked her a lot of questions. So we said to ourselves, me and Derek and I, that we would see if she'd come back on, because she's somebody that at this point in the game is resonating with an awful lot of people. So Derek, how are you doing today? Why don't you just say hi and whatever.
Sure. No, I'm doing well, actually, and I'm thrilled to have Barbara back here. And you're right, we had such huge response from that, and messages through Facebook and emails as well to the store asking various questions. So that's great that she's back here. And then I'm doing real well, and what's even additionally good news, I guess you can say, is the bees are doing outstanding. I checked on them this morning, and so we're talking about the Shungite bees, of course, and I had to add a second brood box, so a deep box with an additional 10 large empty frames on it, because the Shungite bees have, they're probably a month ahead schedule now as far as collection on pollen and nectar, so they're filling up that fast. So we're going to 20 frames now on the beehives. I know we jumped straight to the bees real quickly, but I was kind of excited about walking out there and realizing, oh shoot, they're already ready for this, the second story of their colony, in essence. So they're doing fantastic as well.
Wow. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah. We love Shungite bees.
How long has it been, a month since you picked them up?
I need to check, but maybe not even that. And it was only 3 pounds of bees. So that's I know that doesn't say much to somebody who doesn't understand, but that's a small amount of bees, so not huge. It's not like previous years where I had a nook, a starter half-size beehive that had already had brood in it and babies and all of that. We had no babies, no eggs, no larvae in these bees. They were just bees in a box with a queen. And in this time frame, the queen, has made or laid the eggs. They've turned into larvae. They're already coming out. They're becoming new bees, and they've expanded into a second box all in just a matter of a few weeks. And again, I'll get more specific on times as I figure them out, but it just caught me off guard, is why I wasn't ready for it, because I thought, oh, we'll have, you know, a third of the initial 10 frames still empty, but no. The bees were covering all of them.
How long does it take for an egg to become what happens?
A larva?
Yeah. Does go into a larva state. It doesn't come out as a full bee. It goes into a larva state?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. So the queen will lay an egg. The bees, the female worker bees, will prep the honeycomb cell, the brood cell, because it's not a honey cell. They're shaped exactly the same. If they're in the center of the beehive, vertically and horizontally. So just kind of think virtually here in your head, a square box beehive. So in the very middle, about the size of maybe a basketball at best, a smaller basketball. That virtual volume in the middle will be where the brood is contained. Now, brood, I mean eggs, larvae, various stages of development. And that's where the queen will go amongst the frames. So there's 10 frames, think pieces of bread in a toaster. And she'll crawl up to the top or the bottom to go around each one because there's no holes to pass through. And then she'll pick within that sphere in the middle, lay the eggs. And then from there, over the next week or so, they'll turn into larva stage. And it'll vary a little bit. You caught me off guard on the exact times. But it's about 3 weeks is what it'll take for full development and then the bees to come out. And then to go to the larva stage, and you can actually see them. If you were to pull a frame out and hold up to light, you'll see the bees in different development. And then they'll come out as full grown bees and they'll start their nursing. So then they'll work their first weeks in the beehive rather than leaving. So just like anything else, mature a little bit before leaving home and starting the collection process.
Now, did you ever put another three at the left side of the hive entrance?
No, I'm dead. Let me write a note right now.
You guys keep writing this down. I really want to know because what happened with I was talking to him one night, and Maureen I was talking to, and she said that the bees were basically cleaning themselves off when they came back to the hive, and that was because there wasn't enough room for the for a two-way street over the shungite. That the ones that were leaving the hive, it was more important to leave the hive, which I found interesting. So that's why I'm saying, can we see a development of a two-way situation? They go out one way, and they rub up against those, and then they come back away. You know, because she said they were all, that she was seeing that there were so many of them that it was basically the ones that were coming back they wanted cleaned off.
Oh, yeah. We can disperse more shungite nuggets on the other side as well. I was just keeping the whole three on the one edge, but not either. And they get on it, but I know she's talking about it. It looks like a traffic jam. It's really just, there's no traffic jam because the opening is large enough, but they do all accumulate around there and landing. They absolutely just land directly on the shungite if they can, more often than not, directly on the nuggets. So not even just near them, on them if they can do it. And we have that all on video. But yeah, we'll have to move some over there as well. I mean, I can spread them all out. And I've moved them, by the way, but just not done multiple sets. So if I move the shungite nuggets, the three, to a different spot and forget to put them right back where they were glued, it made no difference. They still went to the shungite. So now it'd be just whether they split themselves up over two piles of shungite as they're going.
I'm just interested in looking at their behavior, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. I'll sit up and just watch them. Maureen watches them more than me. She'll say, did you notice this? I'm like, no, I'm busy doing this, that, and the other. I should have. And so she'll catch it first and let me know of what's going on. But no, they're doing – that's why I was so – because they're doing so well, I was caught off guard early last night, I should say, when I first noticed that there were such high volume of numbers because it's kind of too soon typically. And we had huge losses around here as far as bees go, and I'm still hearing about those from other beekeepers and how they lost their bees all through Washington and Oregon. And I'm sure further, but that's just who I speak to normally.
Have you got anybody in Oregon that you're talking to? I mean, you talk to these people. Do you say, why don't you put these three nuggets on your hive and come report back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot in Oregon, actually. So my sister has done it in Oregon, actually, and I have not heard back from the university yet, but University of Oregon is doing a shungite beehives, I don't know, project, we'll call it, or study. So I am in email with one or two people from that, and I don't have any results of any kind. I wouldn't expect them to say anything, of course. It's ongoing. But there's that. And then, yes, there's a couple other beekeepers, one in Oregon, kind of towards the east side near Idaho. Not much input there as beekeepers. Typically, we don't talk a whole lot to each other. You would think we would, but we usually don't. But it was all great results. They're still ordering shungite. They have it on there. It's the one I'm talking about, and I don't have a name. They were one of the beekeepers converting from chemically treated hives to non-chemically treated hives. So they were doing baby steps, maybe putting shungite there in addition to treating something, the bees with chemicals for mites or something like that. But so it was kind of one of those slow moves. And as they see the progression and the difference shungite makes, then they start leaving the chemicals for so many hives and expanding from there. Oh, I do have more news. Yesterday, I don't want to say the company's name, but they'll figure it out. The largest beekeepers in, and they're huge, commercial beekeepers in Washington State and Idaho, thousands and thousands of hives where they do transport them across states to crops for pollination and all the stuff the commercial beekeepers do. They are trying shungite, and they've got it on, and I have no results because they're just now trying it this summer. But they have it on some of their hives. It's our shungite. I didn't even know I knew the people that were involved with this, but evidently I'll be talking more to them soon. And they've watched the videos, seen what's happening, have had hands-on shungite. So they realize, you know, there's something to shungite. So yeah, they're giving it a try. So that's good news too, that another big operation, is really, and we're talking about tens of thousands of hives here. So I don't know how many they're going to shungite. So I don't want to misspeak here, but they're going to try shungite on a portion of their hives and see how it goes. So that's really good news too. We have, actually in Spain, if I think about it, Barb, and I don't have names because I don't know that anybody wants their names out yet, but we do have shungite beehives in Spain, and I'll have to find out, just out of curiosity's sake now, where they're located. But there are a couple beekeepers there that have contacted us and are using, I think there were nuggets there. I'm not sure they used the shungite paint, but they were definitely using the nuggets. Yeah, so
my neighbor, one of my neighbors, I live in the countryside and he's a beekeeper. So I plan to talk, to go and see him and just gift him, you know, some nuggets to see what happens and whether he's open to it or not. So let's see, you know, what can be done in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And more often than not, in fact, just about every single time, the instant you put the shungite, just some small nugget size, doesn't matter, right at the entrance, the bees will right away go to it within seconds. And I've found that universally, regardless of the genetics of the bees, if they're Russian, Italian, or Carniolan, those are some general types. But yeah, so I think they'll have good results. It's sure not going to do any harm. Someone asked me in an email the other day, all the benefits of shungite and how it can help the plants and animals and whatnot. And I said, well, the one sure thing we know, because they wanted to have the exact circumstance it would do to every animal and every creature every time kind of thing. And I'm like, oh, that's a big topic there. And there's a lot of variables involved. But what I can tell you is shungite's going to do no harm whatsoever. And I pretty much every single case, I've seen it nothing but beneficial, regardless if it's on a beehive or in my pet's water bowl or a bird bath out in the yard. So it's.
Yeah. Can I share something on bees? Because I developed a pendulum. You know, I develop pendulums, and one of the pendulums I developed last year was called the Queen Bee Oracle. It is related to it's more a metaphysical or spiritual tradition of the oracle. So it's not really, really fully related to the bees in terms of, it is related, but it has, you know, some spiritual, if you want, component to this pendulum. But when I was working with creating the pendulum, I got a message from the bees. And if you want, I can share it because I think it's relevant for the work that the bees are doing and what shungite can help. So what they said is, I'm going to read, okay?
Please.
We have been for many years, this is the bees talking, we have been for many years working to harmonize the delicate balance of an ecosystem that is dying due to lack of care and love. We are guardians and custodians of a world of insects, an interconnected network of nourishment and life that affects millions of beings in this planet. You are not conscious of the strength and power of the insect and floral kingdom. We are here serving life and the highest purpose of it all, the rising of the vibrations of the planet to its original position, one in alignment with the luminous spheres. We work ceaselessly for this subtle energetic mission. We collect the flowers, nectar, and transform it into honey, which is none other than spiritual gold, the form of soma. Our work is spiritual, although you only see our activities through your physical eyes. But in fact, we sew invisible golden threads, which travel thousands of kilometers in a sort of internet carrying light frequencies, luminous information. We need you to support us, for you have forgotten your own roles of guardians and stewards of nature, of life. For indeed you have forgotten that you form part of nature and that you share with us and all the kingdoms present here the same mission of restoring the overall harmony amongst us all. Please intend to support our energetic work. This will calm us and bring us comfort to us, making us feel that we are not abandoned, that you are supporting us in a common mission. So basically, this is it. That's the message.
Wow. Wow. That was incredible, too. And that I especially liked when they were speaking about the, I think it was the golden strands of energy and light that they're spreading through there. That's especially fascinating because that's kind of how I see it, too. It's interesting. Like little trails sort of thing with the bees.
Yes, because they're weaving threads connecting all life together. And it's a kind of internet, and this internet is being broken. I mean, internet, it's a nature, if you want, connection. And it's being disrupted by, you know, technopathic stress, electrosmog, and all these, you know, modern-day technologies. And also because we as humans are forgetting our roles as stewards, as they said, and guardians of the earth. So they're telling, please, you know, support, help us. And so the work you're doing, and I believe Shanghai, it is also an amazing help. And this is why they're coming from their journey when they go and pick up, you know, the flowers and so forth. They come back to the hive and they kind of neutralize themselves from all the things that they have picked through the Shanghai. So, you know, it's quite interesting.
That is. That's fascinating. I didn't think of the bees as helping stitch back together, you know, some of the damage that's done in repair. What a visual.
And what they're saying is that they are actually, feeling they are doing more than what they are supposed to do because they are taking on board our lack of work. You know, humanity has forgotten to do its own work. So other kingdoms in nature are taking the role that humanity should be taking. So, you know, are we going to be responsible? Are we going to step up and take, you know, the roles that we need to take?
Oh, yeah. Well, I appreciate them stepping up, taking up our slack. And yeah, I think we all exactly should step up and take our roles and do our part. That's exactly what we're trying to do. And I think as more people do that, it'll make a bigger difference.
Yes.
Nancy, did you have any input on?
No, I'm just listening. I'm just listening. We've been talking about the weave because there's a weave of trees and within the tree weave, there's a pine weave, a oak weave, a spruce weave. And as the Shanghai grid weave began to build, we began to see it merging and attaching with the various weaves. Like, it's attached to the water weave. It's attached to the tree weave. It's attached to... What's the other thing you just... It's attaching everywhere. So that what you're saying is confirmation of what we've been perceiving over the last few years.
Yes.
So, you said you spoke with the queen bee?
I spoke, yes, with a queen bee that presented herself as messenger of the divine mother. Because, you know, of course, when we're talking about the bees, we're talking very closely about, the principle of life itself. And so the queen bee in the ancient tradition, the oracle tradition in Greece, the ancient tradition of the goddess, the queen bee was really connected with the great mother principle, which is the principle of life. So when I prepared this pendulum that I worked which is a pendulum that has an energetic charge of honey from a spiritual perspective and from also an energetic, a physical element of honey in the pendulum, this is the message that I got. I didn't know at the time Shanghai, so I worked in a different way, to create this pendulum.
When I first, I don't know what it was. Something or other said to me, connect with the Queen of Queens. And so I did, and it was very easy to do. Barbara, I'm going to mention that you need to control your mic. When you're not speaking, turn your mic off. Do you have an easy way to turn that mic off, or are you on your phone?
I'm on my iPhone. Hold on a second.
No. Those give you problems, and you might disconnect yourself. Never mind.
Okay.
On a computer, it's easy. But on the we don't want you to disconnect, so just be aware that.
Okay.
All right. The hardest thing about radio is remembering to mute and unmute. That's okay. The truth. It's the truth.
So what shall I do? Shall I?
No, just be aware of the fact that anything that you're doing is going to be picked up in the mic.
Okay.
See, I can mute myself. Derek does this all the time. People say to me, why doesn't Derek talk? Well, he's actually working while he's on the radio. So he mutes himself and he goes and he's sitting there listening and everything, but he's also doing because he can multitask. I can't. Right, Derek?
Sorry, I was going to, because I tend to be a bit focused. I have come today with two main things. I'm just going to share and you tell me where, in which way you want to go. I have the questions that people from your Shanghai reality Facebook group has asked me. And I also have a third healing that I did this morning. And it's also going to be for the benefit of all humanity and whoever, wants to claim the work that I did this morning with Shanghaite. And it is Shanghaite that is asking us to perform this healing for humanity. So which way you want to go? We answer the questions first, or shall we go into the healing?
I say we go into the healing only because when you asked the question and you were on that, I looked down and it was 222, 12:22. That's an indication. Go with that first.
All right. So this morning I connected again with the global field of Shanghaite, and I connected from a bioenergetic perspective. This is not metaphysical. I'm not doing a channeling. I'm connecting bioenergetically with the field of Shanghaite. And I'm not talking about the personality of the different nuggets. This is like the global consciousness of Shanghaite. And so what I did is I start asking Shanghaite, what do you want to do? So Shanghaite wanted to work with your audience. So everybody who is listening to this radio show or who will be listening to the radio show or who will be, reading the Facebook groups or whatever, these are the people with whom Shanghaite is working today and is wanting to do a healing, which has already happened. So now we just need to explain what happened. And if you want to claim it as being yours, just, state something like, if it is for my highest will, may I receive the benefits of the healing, this third healing that has been done by Barbara and Shanghaite today. So this is all you need to do. You just claim it and you receive it from an energetic standpoint. Of course, there's going to be people who are more sensitive than others, people who might feel things, people who may not feel things. That is okay, because this is going to be filtering through your different energetic bodies. And there's people who are not open to feeling yet, so you may not feel anything. So the healing as instructed by Shanghai this morning is for the audience of the show. And what Shanghai said this morning was that the whole audience needed to eliminate a series of blockages. So the first blockage was on the emotional body. It was affecting the connection of the audience, like the people listening, to source. Source meaning God, the quantum field, whatever you consider source to be. And this blockage was due to beliefs in inferiority, which means that we feel at some kind of emotional deep level inferior to source, inferior to God. And this disconnects us. And this is Shanghai telling us you have to stop doing that. This blockage was held in the heart. So we cleared the blockage from the heart of everybody who will be claiming this healing to the degree in which we could do this today. The second blockage was in the area of our relationship to source, how we relate to source. And there were patterns of intranquility. That is, we don't feel comfortable relating to source. There's intranquility. And Shanghai showed us that the intranquility, this vibration of not feeling at ease, not feeling, you know, calm enough to have a communication with source, was located at the level of the womb, which is around the second chakra, around the belly region, below the belly region. So this was also cleared. The third blockage was at the level of the subconscious mind. It was affecting our communication with source, and this was due to patterns of self-doubt. So we doubt in ourselves, we doubt in our capacities, and this disconnects us from source. This was cleared at the level of the heart to the degree in which we could do this today. So there's probably people who still will have blockages because they will need to be working at deeper and deeper levels to find out why they have a blockage with source, okay? Next, we needed to harmonize our relationship to source. And all this is Shungite speaking. It's not me saying, oh, I think the audience needs this. It's Shungite telling us we need to clear these things. It is important to clear these things at this moment in time. So now we had to harmonize our relationship with source. And when I measured to what degree the whole audience, what was the level of, to what degree the relationship between the audience and source was out of balance on a scale 0 to 10, we were all out of balance at 6 out of 10. So it's a pretty high level of imbalance. So the way in which Shanghai chose to provide the help was by means of Ho'oponopono. You know, Ho'oponopono is this Hawaiian peacemaking process which is based on four vibrations. The vibrations of I am sorry, I love you, please forgive me, and thank you. And I happen to have developed a pendulum. Not that I want to sell my pendulum, but we use actually this pendulum to do this healing. And so when we tune into what exactly do we need to balance and harmonize this relation to source, the main problems were that we don't feel. There's a problem in the feeling. So the audience, and we can assume that all humanity, has an issue of not being able to feel their relation to source. It's from a feeling base. We are maybe too mental in trying to connect with source. And so there was an imbalance at the level of feeling. And feeling is actually in the second chakra, if you want. And it's also the feminine and the emotional body, which has been very, you know, discarded in this world of, you know, left brainers. So we work with the vibration of I am sorry. I am sorry is a vibration in which we are trying to reestablish the communication with source by taking 100% responsibility of the feelings that we have not felt. And so we did this, you know, from a bioenergetic perspective. We did it on behalf of everybody in this audience. So we balanced the feeling component that was lacking, and we cleared the memories, the negative memories that are affecting the relation between the audience and source at the level of the feeling. The next thing that we needed to do to balance this relation between the audience and source was actually to reintegrate the vibration of love. Somehow there's a lack of love in source. We are not loving enough source. We are not loving enough ourselves, and we are not loving enough our connection to source. And this was Shanghai telling us, you need to rebalance this. So we work with this pendulum, the Ho'oponopono, the pendulum that I have to reintroduce this vibration of love for everybody in the audience. At the end of the clearing, this relation was, you know, the relation between the audience and source was balanced for the time being. I mean, this doesn't mean that it's going to be forever balanced, but for today, in accordance to what Shanghite was saying, we are all, everybody listening to this program, if you claim this healing, you're going to be feeling a greater, you know, sense of connectivity with source and a greater, you know, harmonization of your relation to source. From what I have been gathering, Shanghite is really asking us to connect with source. It's quite interesting that the whole session that we did today, focusing on the audience, is connected to us reestablishing our connection to source. So here, you know, I'm open to, you know, your insights, Nancy, Derek, you know.
Well, I can tell you right off the bat, when you first started talking about the healing and this portion of Shungite that had come through of the communication for me, and I was thinking, well, wait a minute, is she going to, so at the very beginning, I was thinking, okay, is there going to be a key moment where it takes place sort of thing, meaning at this moment, I'm not explaining this very well, but let me start from this perspective. I was sitting there listening to you, and then you were talking about the healing, and all you need to do is just go ahead and accept it sort of thing. Well, what I was waiting for, you say, okay, everybody, one, two, three, but there was none of that. And what had happened for me was instantaneously, I felt it once I realized in my head, well, wait a minute. And I knew all this, but I just wasn't thinking, I was thinking too logically, I guess you could say. So what I felt, it was odd. So think as if you're laying there under a bunch of blankets and levels, so maybe five or six of them. And I've never felt this before, but when I accepted what was best for my higher self coming through with the Shunga, as you were talking about, I felt what it felt like was a sheet. So the layer closest to your body was pulled down out from under all the other blankets down towards my feet. If I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's what happened to me. And it was really distinct, and it was odd and unique. It was a good feeling, but that's what happened energetically. And it kind of caught me off guard. So I was glad I was muted. I was like, whoa, because it felt, I don't know how else to explain it, but like somebody went to the bottom of your bed and just pulled the sheet from the bottom. And it started right just around my heart chakra and then down to my feet. So I just wanted to point that out, that's what I experienced. And it was pretty drastic as well. So that was, and it was a good feeling.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Derek, can you tune in energetically? And can you tune in energetically and tell me whether the sheet, the blanket, is actually a veil that is blocking your connection to source? Is that what you...
That's exactly what it was.
Okay, yeah. Okay, because this is what is happening. Humanity has been veiled upon veiled upon veiled, and there's, you know, like layers and layers and layers of veils that we need to be clearing. And this is what Shungite is telling us. And Shungite has a mission, but Shungite is telling us that if we do not claim our full connection to source, you know, what needs to happen, this alliance with Shungite, humanity, us shifting things, us raising the vibrations, we need to bring source into the equation. And source, we are source as well. The problem is that, you know, maybe religions, you know, whatever beliefs we may have, such as the feelings of inferiority that we have cleared today, such as self-doubt, these are separating us from source. You know, if source is love and we suddenly feel inferior to love, we are dropping how many steps behind love? A lot of steps. And our true nature is also love. So we are one with our true nature, which is love, and God or source is love. So by us self-doubting and feeling inferior to this, we are putting ourselves in a position of vulnerability, and then we are prone to all these attacks of anything, any, you know, frequencies, talking about 5G or whatever other things, you know, because we are not claiming who we are and we are not claiming our power. And this is, you know, like Shungite, in the last three sessions that we have done, Shungite is actually telling us, hey, dudes, this is important. So she's helping us do that.
It's, yeah, that's interesting. It's, everything between the bees and Shungite, it's, and many other things, it's all helping us, you know, get to where we need to be. And we, I see we kind of should be, become part of the team here on Earth. And let's all just do our part and fix it. That's, I love the healings that are coming through. And it's interesting, really, when I feel them so drastically, and it's not always the case. So when you spelled it out, it was like a layer of separation between us and source. I wasn't putting all together. I was just sitting here experiencing the energetic feelings and seeing what came, just being open to whatever. And sometimes it can be visuals or energies or just different things. So in this case, again, it was the sheet or the layer being pulled out. And then so it was like a blockage, I guess, just what you said. That's,
yep,
you're right on the money on that.
So again, I kept on talking to Shungite, and we talked after the healing session. I asked her or it, about the 5G. So here's what came through this bioenergetic conversation, which is not a spiritual channeling. It's purely bioenergetic. So as for the 5G, Shanghai said that she or it can help humanity overcome the 5G, but, the main message from Shanghai is that humanity by itself needs to solve the 5G issue. And then she kind of said, a humanity that is reconnected with source can solve the 5G issue. And also I ask, okay, but does all humanity need to be fully connected to source for us as a global humankind to overcome this 5G issue? And then she said, not all of humanity needs to be reconnected with source. Only a percentage, which was determined by Shanghai this morning to be around 31% of the population in the world. And then I ask, okay, next question, logical question is, what is the current population in the world that is connected to source to the degree in which Shanghai would be happy for us to be able to overcome the 5G phenomena? And she said that currently 23% of the population has a relative connection to source. So we only need to rise 8 points from 23 to 31%. The next thing that I ask is, when I ask Shanghai whether it is beneficial or not to be afraid of the 5G, her answer was very clear. No. Because by us being afraid of the 5G, we are actually, this is actually 91% detrimental for us to be afraid. And what this happens is that we fall 100% in disempowerment. So when we fall into fear, we fall into total disempowerment. And then we lose our connection to source. We lose our power. We lose everything. The other thing that Shanghai stated is that our attitude is crucial. And so I ask, okay, what is the ideal attitude that we need to have to be able as human beings to overcome this when we are connected to source and so forth? So I started asking loads of questions to find out which type of attitude. And finally, the answer was the attitude of clarity. We need to be totally clear about our connection to source, our power, our right to decide. This is important. Our right to decide whether we want the 5G or we don't want the 5G, and our knowing that we are all powerful as we have the same power as God source has. So keep in mind, if you want to be working on this, to really bring the attitude of clarity. Don't let yourself fall into fear, because fear is going to bring confusion. It's going to bring doubt, and it's going to drop the vibrations of everybody if we fall into fear. Finally, Shanghai stated that we all really, really, really need to step into the consciousness of love. And Shanghai is helping us for this to happen. Shanghai is also recommending us to open the communication with our higher dimensional friends and guides who are aligned with pure unconditional love and hold the same values as we do, requesting for their help. This is not being disempowered. If you request for this type of help from your family, you know, in higher dimensional places, from your higher dimensional aspects, there is, we don't become disempowered when we say, hey, please help. And Shanghai is telling us, please open yourself to the possibility of asking your soul family, your higher dimensional guiding system for help. And only ask for those who are holding pure unconditional love and who are holding the same values as you do for help. She stated that asking for assistance is a way of healing the wound of separation. Remember that Shanghai is really wanting us to become whole again, and wholeness is to become one, to resolve all the separation and all the polarity that we have. So we become one with a higher dimensional guiding system. We become one with our higher dimensional aspects. And from this connection, we are not only humans. And then there's a lot of flow of information that can happen, and many things can happen. And possibly Shungite will be able to work with us from a multidimensional perspective. And then we have much more resources when we open up to these higher aspects that we have. And Shungite possibly needs us to be opening, you know, these multidimensional aspect within us. So this is the result of the healing session this morning.
And I was muted. I'm sorry about that. I had to unmute. How do you? Is most of your work done? Is all of your work done on a pendulum, Barbara?
No, I'm working with my Laker antenna, and the blockages that I cleared were cleared this morning with, in particular, two particular pendulums that I have developed. One was helping to go into the Akashic, which, you know, I don't know whether you are familiar with the idea of the Akashic records.
Sure.
And I tend to think that they are two types of Akashic records, one that is manipulated, which is a false Akashic record, and the one that I tune into, you know, when I realize that they were false Akashic records, I always connect to the living library of all that is, which is organic, it's Mother Nature, Gaia, it's life itself. So it's not a manipulated you know, version of the Akashic. So we clear the blockages from that level. And then the other work that we did for the balancing the relationship with Source was done through Ho'oponopono, which is this Hawaiian peacemaking process, but it was done through a pendulum that I developed, which is called the Ho as Ho'oponopono, and it's really fast. And you know, I did it that way. That's the way Shungite chose. You know, I asked, "How do you want to do this?" And she pointed at this pendulum, and so we did it this way.
Okay, that's fascinating, because I also like the fact that you mentioned the false Akashic record. So, because that's often I don't hear that mentioned or acknowledged, that there can be a distraction, a manipulation, just like you said, a false record on there or accessible. So that's, I'm glad to hear that you were acknowledging that.
Well, we are in a dimension that has, you know, everything distorted. So you have a false light, you have, you know, a lot of things that are false and distorted. And, you know, the trick is to try to connect to that which is authentic. And I'm, you know, we are not free from making mistakes and falling sometimes into confusion and into, you know, taking something for granted when it is not. And it's part of a growing process of developing our, you know, senses of perception, actually. So it's a working process.
Can I just say something about the record?
Yeah.
Because what people are missing is that the Akashic record that they're looking at, that they're seeing, is a lower level that is morphing all the time. Because you have timelines changing, and as timelines change and morph to become what the present is, the past changes. And if you're looking at, like, what was happening in the news, you know, versus what's happening from the thought and consciousness level, you get a different reading. Because that record that they keep seeing keeps changing. So the records that you have accessed are stored in Mother Nature, in Gaia's bank of information for this particular, and everything is there. Even
yes,
the changes.
Yes, and the other thing is that some people do readings in the sense of who was I in a last incarnation, and these type of readings. What I'm doing is I'm tracking blockages, conflicts, problems, and I need to find from where do I need to extract the problem. And if I find that the problem is at the level of the Akasha or the Akashic. You know, I'm not talking, you know, I'm not doing a spiritual reading or anything, and I'm not prone to being so much manipulated by an inner voice that could be telling me something. I'm just tracking from, it's like a surgery. I'm a surgeon. It's like being, or you can call me a plumber. I'm just trying to find in the energetic field of someone, the multidimensional energy field of someone, where are the blockages? Where is the problem? And from where do I need to extract the problem? And in this particular session, we needed to clear things from the Akasha, the Akashic, not, you know, do a reading of which could be much more open to manipulation if you want.
Yeah, I think that's probably the way that it's the only way that you can operate. No pun intended. I love the concept of plumber.
Yes, it keeps things very humble. Like when you consider yourself a plumber, an energetic plumber, or multidimensional plumber, you know, it's really you know, you don't have to call yourself a fanciful healer, mega, whatever. No, I'm just doing plumbing work. And that's it.
That's interesting. I just I wanted to point out there's a post in chat just now by Dolly, and she's mentioning, I think we need to concentrate on who we are now and what our mission is this time, not the past lives. Past lives are already lived, and why waste this time? And I was kind of thinking along the exact same lines as we were all talking about that. That's, I'm not big on when you mentioned some people or intuitives or psychics give readings on what was your past life you did here in the, and I'm the same way as Dolly and looks like Mona as well now. Let's focus on, you know, maybe where we're at and where we're going. I don't get too mixed up, and I, granted, you know, there's always something to learn from the past, but I just don't put my main focus there, other than to look back and, you know, pull from experiences and things I've learned, but it's more about where we're at now and where we're going, at least in my opinion as well. So I don't sit around thinking, well, what was I in the last three lives doing this, that, and the other? I'm not sitting around watching replays of movies. I'm waiting for the next movie to come out or something like that. But that's me.
Exactly. I mean, but nothing that has been said in the show today is about the past. Is actually the present. So we're not focusing on things of the past.
Just let me break in here, because I'm, yes, and we sort of are, okay, because what Derek is talking about, I'm very cognizant of. I say, I didn't do those things. Why do you want me to hold on to this karma? But something is happening where, okay, all of those past personalities, when somebody goes into multiple personality, what would you call it? When they start to be multiple personalities, what's happening is that the third dimensional mind can't handle whatever is happening. So it like crashes. It's like a computer that just goes bonkers and the program just crashes. At that point, there is a connection to basically the other personalities in computer programming thinking that are in the computer. And so you start to default to these other personalities. All right? Now, when you become authentic, when you begin to know that it doesn't matter about who you were or the genetics of your family or the fact that you might have a star family, that none of that matters. The only thing that matters is your own experience at this moment in time. When you do that, you take complete control over your computer system. The computer system that is you, that programming within that multidimensional computer system, is now running absolutely perfect. And it's dominating. Nobody else can override what is happening with that computer. So at that moment in time, all of those past lifetimes, all of that stuff, you know, just put it in an archive file and forget about it. You know what I'm
exactly.
saying?
Exactly. Yes, totally. And, but I mean, here we can open us, you know, a whole line of communication about what is the nature of reality and what is the nature of, are we multidimensional beings and what does that mean? And what happens when we are affected by aspects of us who are multidimensional that need healing and need healing from the here and now, because we are operating, we think we are operating only in 3D, but actually we are a 3D station, but this 3D station has, you know, multiple levels of awareness that we can be tapping. And it's not a question only of past lives. It's a question of fractals of ourselves that could be, you know, from other dimensions that are wanting to come and merge with the 3D version of who we are. And when this is not healed, and this is part of, you know, for instance, my work as a bioenergetic, if you want, healer or practitioner, whatever you want to call it, or plumber, multidimensional plumber, is that there are fractals that need healing for the 3D here and now to be operating at its maximum level with, you know, full access to the resources that this human being could have potentially. So we're talking about, are we going to be humans limited because we are so shut down and so disconnected from our essence, or are we going to be stepping up into who we truly are, embracing the wholeness, the completeness of who we are? You see? So,
okay, you know, let me jump in here again, because when Derek was discussing his response to the healing that you presented just a couple minutes ago, and he was talking about the blanket that becomes a veil, okay? I'm sitting here and I'm going like, I don't have any veils. Because when I was born, I never forgot. I was one of those weird people, remembered past lifetimes, thought everybody else did, was 12 years old when I found out that nobody remembered. And so I basically was sent here with a open connection. There wasn't veils. I didn't fall for any of it. You know, but right then and there, when he was talking about that, I'm going like, okay, so if they take away the veils, what happens next? And, you know, it's the questioning every time you ask the right question. And all of a sudden, as a matter of fact, it was more visual than a sense. I saw, like, all these versions of myself, fragments of myself, and they just, you know, so I'm sitting here and I'm going like, wow, I just had all those pieces of, from some other versions of myself, you know, just come together in one person.
And yes, and this is what Shanghaiti is wanting us to achieve. And this is called becoming one. And source is, another definition for source is one. Oneness and oneness, one, means that we are not fragmented, and Shanghaiti is pushing us gently towards this non-fragmentation.
Well, I'll let you know how it feels. I mean, I don't especially feel like, you know, energetically that you know, I've gotten, well, maybe I have gotten a little dose of whatever, you know, because things are happening internally at the 3D level. Energetically, now that I focus on it. But, so guys, all you have to do is, you know, say, what would it feel like if the veils all were gone? And then, and do it gently. You know, you make it all gentle. Just let the veils lift. And then, once you get the veils lift and you're really starting to feel, because what I think will happen is that you will feel yourself. Once you get clarity, you will begin to perceive your own self in a much more solid, stable way. Because I think for a lot of people, I mean, most people will say, I don't know who I am. They definitively cannot explain who they are. And because I've asked the question so many times. And I think at that moment, you will be able to know who you are. And at the next question you should ask is, you know, how is it going to feel when all of my various versions of myself coalesce into one field. Because it's not like all of those versions, you know, disappeared from wherever they were. Because it, as it happened to me, it happened to them. I integrated with each one of them as they integrated with me. Does that make sense?
Yes. Like, for instance, I can talk... Sorry. Derek, you want to say something?
No. Go ahead. Thanks.
What I was going to explain is my own perception. Like, you may have come into this reality, Nancy, without any major work to be done, but I came totally jammed, and I had to heal myself and do a lot of things. And I've been 20 years now working on myself, and this is how I became an energetic plumber, if you want to see it that way, because I had to do the work on myself, and I had to feel what does it feel like to be fragmented. And so when you are fragmented, you don't even know that you are fragmented. So that's you at a later stage, you realize when once you start becoming whole, you then look back and you say, and you can see and feel that you were actually fragmented. But when you are fragmented, there is a lot of unconsciousness. There's a lot of material that you are reacting, you're being triggered, you're being pushed and shoved through unconscious programming. And this, we could, you know, go into the 5G paranoia and what is going to happen with 5G. Are they going to manipulate us? And are they going to be playing with our unconscious, the material? Are they going to be playing with our fragments? So by us becoming whole, there are no more fragments. And so we have this overall consciousness and this aware self within us that is at the core of who we are, who is the witness of everything. And this aspect of us is the one that Shungite is wanting to empower, because this aspect is the one that is connected to Source, that is at one with Source, that can bring the power of Source into us. And from that, you know, powerful expression of who we are with our gifts and talents, without having any doubt or self-doubt is again another division, is a split, is causing us to not be, you know, at one. And so we lose power by doing that. But if we are in this position of full empowerment and full oneness with Source, with who we are, with our gifts and talents, then, you know, we can focus on a problem such as 5G or whatever. And then things can start happening because we are seeing things from the state of wholeness. And things, you know, we can have a lot of different responses and reactions to things in life.
Very interesting. Derek, would you like to comment?
No, I was just going to say that as well. I love her perspective, and I think, you know, it's going to, you know, sync up with a lot of people out there. Excuse me. Because we all look at things so differently, and or, you know, maybe it takes a little while for us to come across and maybe adjust to that way of seeing and realizing it's more, you know, in line how we were already seeing things, if that makes sense. Anyway, my point is that you explain things very well, better than I do, evidently. And you help build a picture, so that's fantastic. And I love that you're doing that. You're helping a lot out.
Yes, I think she can do that because she has gone through, you know, like she says, a difficult time. I didn't. And so I'm like the teacher that, you know, that was an A student. And I can't teach people, I can't teach the class because I don't understand their problems. Better teachers are the people that were C students, because they can understand what the problems are. So I say, I know where somebody has to get to, because it's almost like, okay, we need you to go in there and just, you know, have it really easy, sweet life, no problems to speak of, and be a, to understand where everybody else can get to. Because I seriously, you know, have been had a very blessed life. And yet, at the end of it, anybody can be here. I mean, it wasn't like, yes, I was special. It was just that my mission was, because, hey, to figure out some of the stuff that we needed to figure out, somebody didn't have to spend their entire life trying to get to clarity to be able to figure it out. You know, we need somebody that can stay clear, that can figure this thing out, and then tell other people. And I'm not alone. I'm just an example of a type of, let's say, person who is here to do this mission. And no, 5G, it's a system. It can be busted. That's not the problem. 5G is a godsend because it's waking people up. And yes, the first thing that happens is, oh my God, I'm scared. But the people who are out in the forefront of fighting 5G, I haven't talked to all of them, but I've talked to some of the more impressive ones, and every one of us believes we've already won. What's the story going to be of how we got there? And that's very, very solid in the people. It's almost like 5G is opening up, you know, memories. Not necessarily deep memories of what, you know, why we have this mission and all that went behind it, but a deep feeling of, oh, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. You know, and I can feel this. So many people, you know, actually say that. But listen, we're at the top of the hour and just beyond it. So we're going to take a 4-minute break. Just imagine John Lennon, Julie Westlin.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. And I was only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there. No countries, it isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Shungite Show. It is May 28th, 2019. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Derek Condon and Barbara Meneses. And we have been talking Shungite metaphysics. So, hi guys, you back?
Yes.
I am, thank you.
Awesome. Okay, so is there anything else you wanted to say that you might have thought during the break about what we've been talking about, or do you want to go and start discussing questions?
I'm fine with questions.
Sounds good.
Okay. Did I was copying the questions from the Facebook, and then I get way into it, and then you said, I'm copying all these things to answer. I said, well, I just spent an exercise of fertility. So you have the list in front of you?
Yes. 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 So, okay. You know, just keep an eye on the questions in case I miss one of them. But I'm starting with Christy Ann. I'm not going to say her family name because maybe she doesn't want to disclose it publicly. But she asked, you know, what does Barbara think about 5G and Shungite overall? I'm curious if drinking Shungite water and having Shungite in our body, if that will help combat 5G. Could we increase a vibrational frequency to a high enough level where we are immune to the effects of 5G? So the answer, we have already been answering the 5G issue a little bit in the first hour, so I'm not going to, you know, repeat myself as to the things that we have said. I do consider it is a complex issue, the 5G thing, and, you know, I personally haven't been researching a lot the 5G, maybe because there's an aspect of me that doesn't want, I don't feel, you know, personally the call to be, you know, being so proactively combating or fighting the 5G. It doesn't mean, you know, that other people will feel the call to be doing that because that is their particular mission. I feel my mission is more a mission to try to reconnect us with Source and to try to help humanity become whole and empowered. And to mirror that through my own life and through my own experiences, I think that is, you know, what I can offer. Also, the idea that if 5G is going to be beaming frequencies and that there's going to be a war of frequencies, we are going to have to learn how to navigate frequencies. And we are frequency-based beings anyway. So we do know on some unconscious, subconscious level, how to maneuver with frequencies. And one of the best ways, if you want, is to avoid being, you know, attacked by frequencies that are very dense and harmful is for you to hold frequencies that are not harmful. And so the internal mechanics of holding a frequency, such as love or such as, you know, the frequencies of life, of pure life, to hold this energetically in your field is a training in itself. And you can be drawing from different fields like meditation, mindfulness, conscious awareness, the ability to embody in your physical vessel a particular frequency and hold it. This is something very feminine, and actually this is an ancient art, the science of vibration. It was taught in the ancient mystery schools. It was taught in Egypt and also the teachings of the divine feminine in the ancient traditions of the goddess. We were taught to hold in our womb a particular vibration. So, you know, there's a lot of learning for us from the 5G fears. And these are learnings of how to be able to hold a particular frequency and to shift, you know, our whole energy field by holding these frequencies. So the answer is not a clear answer that I can give you here and now. It's a very long answer, actually. But I hope this is giving you some ideas. You also ask about drinking water and whether this is going to help. I think drinking Shungite water is going to help you to attune to the Shungite feel, is going to help you clear your vessel, is going to help you neutralize noxious energies, and but it may not be the overall solution for the 5G. This is only one part of a whole range of things that might need to be put in place. It's going to help you cope with the problem, but it may not be the only solution that solves the 5G situation. And about could we increase the vibrational frequency to a high enough level so that we can become immune? Yes, I think so. And this is our task, to be doing this work. And it's not only, we are not only here to raise our vibrations to combat 5G, but we are here to raise our vibrations from density, from ignorance, you know, from a lot of things. So it's part of an ongoing mission that we have. And
I have to jump in here for a second, because okay. I'm trying to, I tell people Shungite is not going to protect you from 5G, period. What you're talking about is not protecting against 5G. It's raising our consciousness enough so that we don't have to deal with the 5G. We don't fight 5G. We fight for humanity becoming aware enough to just say no. And no spelled K-N-O-W, because if you understand that this is the stupidest thing that humanity could possibly do, we're just not going to have it happen. It's not necessary, and we don't have to have it happen. But to get there, you do have to get to a point as a human being to be able to integrate your knowledge from the inside and what you're learning on the outside to come together as a human family. But as far as living in 5G, not to happen. It goes exactly. Fundamentally against, it's like we never should have set off the nuclear bomb.
Yes, but we are still, we are even affected by 4G. And
4G yes, does absolutely. Exist. Yes, and this has been the fight. See, this is what I've been fighting this thing for 45 years. Okay, mm-hmm. And now we've got a situation where 5G, everybody's going, oh my God, 5G, 5G. Well, thank God you woke up, because 4G's killing you. Slower, but you at least have woke up. And so now when people are talking 5G, all of the information that we, myself and thousands of others, have been trying to get across to people is now being listened to. It's like, that's why I call 5G a godsend, because it woke people up in time to stop the crash of the biosphere that we are fully engaged in right now. And that's why the bees are so critical, because the bees are showing us that we can make changes with Shungite at the 4G, 3G, 2G concept. That technology can be dealt with, but 5G cannot. It's a technology that, look, you want to get used to 5G and you want to survive 5G. Well, the bottom line to 5G is artificial intelligence and transhumanism. And the bet between God and Lucifer was, Lucifer is AI, God is organic. And God said, I will be the one that they will follow. Lucifer said, no, they'll follow me. They'll become robots. They'll become artificial intelligence. And right now, we've got so many biological, artificial intelligence people out there who are locked into their cell phones, locked into their computers, that they cannot even know what it is to be human. And that's what we're up against. It's not 5G. It's the transhumanism, artificial intelligence. And I can tell you from a scientific standpoint how the 5G is finessing and expanding and enhancing this capability of theirs. I could do it, but I'm telling you, we don't need to look at the details. We need to look at the details that say to us, how do we just get aware enough at the collective level? Because it's a subconscious level that once that becomes aware enough, everybody on the planet goes boing.
Yep.
And you got a whole brand new family of man. That's what I see it as.
Yes. Well, I think Christy had her answer to her question fairly clear from both of us.
And thank you, Christy.
Yes, thank you. So Laura is asking, suggestions welcome. I feel caught between two worlds. The old, where shelter, food, health, care, life is governed by money, and the new world where there isn't that constant worry. I am probably sensitive to this after going through an extremely tough few years, and now how important it is to keep my thoughts clean and clear, especially around Shungite. Well, it's not really a question. It's just a comment on how she's feeling, that she's feeling caught between two worlds. And in a way, yes, we are all, you know, shifting from one paradigm into the other. And we are kind of, you know, clearing ourselves and changing perhaps, you know, perspectives and making choices that are going to lead us into some other, you know, world, if you want. So what you are experiencing, in my opinion, is, you know, fairly natural. Everybody is in this, you know, shifting from one reality into the other. And it can be confusing at some times. And also, you know, maybe part of your family might be very stuck in the old paradigm. And it is very disruptive for someone who is shifting into a new way of, you know, seeing things, to be surrounded by people who are, you know, choosing consciously to remain stuck in the old ways. So I can understand where you're coming from.
Which is absolutely correct. It's a mind warfare. Because the more that you think about where you want to be, the new reality, and there definitely are in existence right now two realities. They're semi-superimposed on one another, but not really. The gap between the two is getting very much greater. So you have to decide in your own self, which of these realities do I want to live on? Because remember, reality is what you think it is. So if you really want to take the next step in reality manifestation, you have to give up the concept that these people and situations that are seemingly keeping you stuck in what I call the matrix reality, okay, that they don't exist in the other reality. So just make them go away. You know, don't think about them. Don't give them any energy. Because every time somebody comes up and they're at you and they start pushing your buttons, one of the things that Shungite does, okay, is that it causes a hesitation. When somebody does something to you that would normally trigger you, push the button, they did, okay, you're prior to Shungite, you would immediately react. Okay, with Shungite, you're in a balanced state already. So what happens is there's a hesitation. You will feel the button go down. You'll feel what you normally would now exhibit, but it doesn't happen because Shungite made you hesitate. And you break the triggering mechanism. So, and I've seen this over the last 5 years, that this is one of the things that happens to people. So when somebody triggers you and you don't react, you have not fed that reality. And every time somebody triggers you, you know, that's what the key is turn the other cheek. You know, it's turn the other cheek. Don't let it trigger you. And then the energy that keeps that situation going doesn't exist anymore. So it's very, very critical, and especially now, and it's getting more critical, that she's talking about, she's trying to control her thoughts. That's what we have to do. It's a matter of learning. You get a bad thought, go, wait a minute, that's not mine, I don't want that, and push it aside. It'll come back, push it aside. Pretty soon, you'll get to a point where even if you try to focus and bring it back, it's not going to come back because it's gone. So every thought becomes critical.
Funny enough that she's using, Laura, the words clean and clear. This is exactly what Shungite was telling us to focus, to hold this attitude of clarity. So she's also picking up on that. Very interesting.
Before you had done anything about it. segmenting.
Yes,
out.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, because that's what happens at the collective consciousness. When we do these radio shows, I've got shows all week. They start to trend a subject. None of them are listening to each other and talking to each other, but it's like you can feel that there are trending thoughts in the subconscious. So, I mean, that doesn't surprise me. But it is one of the details that people should pay attention to. I tell them, I say, if you really want to go through this process, you have to become observant. You can't be going through life blind. Every little thing that happens, look at it. Not assess it. Not think about, trying to make a story about it. Just look at it. Because it's little breadcrumbs. One person said it's like breadcrumbs, But it's the little details that you begin to see. I'm thinking, who was it? Okay, I sent an email to a friend of mine. This happened this morning. I said, I can't find your address. And she responds right back to me immediately. She said, I just looked up yours. and that's the synchronicity of, she was looking up mine, which made me think, oh my gosh, I got to email her. Okay, because of all this connectedness that we have in the collective consciousness. And in our personal consciousness, the reactions that we have with different people. So please, one of the things that I really want people to appreciate is how powerful your mind is, and pay attention to the details, because you see the magic.
And also how much Shanghai can help you, because as you were talking on Laura's experience, I was getting the image of the bees of Derek. And I was, seeing the little paws or the little legs of the bees dropping, the density or the things they may have picked that were, the contamination, if you want, dropping it on top of the Shanghai to be transmuted and transformed. So we can do that with our thoughts, because when you wear, a Shanghai pendant, you open a vortex of energy that and you're actually immersed in this field of Shanghai, so you can actually start releasing all the things that are not from you and that you don't need to be consciously processing because they don't belong to you. It's something that you may have picked, or these triggers that are not necessary to be responding to. And so you could be doing the same as the bees are doing, to be using this field, this opportunity that Shanghai is giving us to enhance our capacity to transmute things.
Absolutely. Shanghai's and anybody who's, we got somebody in South America who doesn't have Shanghai, but they can just reach out to the Shanghai grid.
Exactly.
Just because you don't have Shanghai personally on your body that you can access it simply by reaching out to the energy grid, or if it's easier for you to do, because you can't quite get this grid concept, think of a pile of Shanghai in the far western part of Russia and focus in on it, and she will fill you with Shanghai.
Exactly. Susan, one of the members of the group, mentioned transmutation. She put this just the simple word in the post under Laura's comment. So there's other people, looking into this quality of Shanghai, of transmutation. Anita also asked, could Barbara tell whether a Shanghai pendulum can answer yes or no questions? The answer is yes, of course. Any pendulum, it doesn't have to be a Shanghai pendulum. Any pendulum, if you know how to operate it, will give you a yes or no answer. And a Shanghai pendulum can do the same.
Would you please, at this point, talk to the people about what your course on pendulums and what you can offer them off of your website? And I highly recommend that you go to her website and just look at it, because it's full of energy. you get an energy boost and an energy bath just by going to the website. And we're not going to, the website to the store, explain how they, first off, they can get there, please.
Well, I'm not here. This is something I want to say. I'm not here to sell my courses. I have been invited by Nancy and Derek just because I did a post in this Facebook group. And, I'm not on a mission to sell my stuff. Well, I'm on a
mission to sell your stuff.
Okay.
Because you know, people come. Walt has put up a thing about, you know, how to use a pendulum. Anybody can access it. But the fact of the matter is that the way that you explain things and the concept of, okay, you've got a manual, correct? Is that it's a manual or is it digital?
Okay, so I have an online course. Well, I have different online courses, and we have one part of the stories in English. So everything is going to be in English. The courses will be in English. The manuals will be in English, and the other part is in Spanish. So in as far as the English part of the store is concerned, I have two main courses, which you could consider the most important courses in dowsing. It's called Level 1 and Level 2. The title of the course is Mental Dowsing, Vibratory Radiesthesia, and Pendulum Healing. So it's a course that covers the three main aspects of dowsing. Normally, when you go to a course of dowsing, you may only cover one aspect only, which will be most likely mental dowsing, is asking a question with a pendulum and receiving a yes or no. But there is a whole range of other things that you really need to know. It's not just asking a question. There's a lot of things that we cover in the courses. There are three main avenues, if you want, to dowsing. And this is not always taught, mainly because the dowser, maybe who is teaching it, has only studied one particular way of dowsing. And maybe he's not into pendulum healing, which is a total different avenue, how to heal with pendulums. It's not only how to ask questions, but you can heal with pendulums. And there is a new generation of pendulums that are coming, and I am developing these new generation of pendulums along with the dowsing lab with which I'm working. So it's a totally different concept. It's not, you know, like you grab anything that is hanging from, you know, a chain and you ask a yes or no. No, there is a vibrational quality to the pendulums. The pendulums need to be very well calibrated. Each pendulum is studied for their particular vibration. They are emitting a specific vibration, which can be translated into radiesthetic colors. And there is a whole art about this. So it's not just yes and no. So this course is focused on giving you the foundations. At the level one, it's giving you the foundations on how to work with mental dowsing, how to be able to ask questions and receive answers from a mental perspective, which is engaging your left brain. But then we go to vibratory radiesthesia, which is using the vibrational body, your emotional body, and we are using different type of pendulums, and we are using the right hemisphere of your brain. So my main focus is to teach you how to combine your left hemisphere and your right hemisphere by combining two types of dowsing. So this is going to give you a holospheric way of understanding your own life. So the course is not only a course in dowsing. You're going to learn how to be more yourself because you have two brain hemispheres. And the whole mission really is to be able to use and to have a clear communication between the both hemispheres. And most of the people have a brain dominance, will be more, you know, right brain or left brain, and they have blockages. So when you start working with a type of dowsing that is going to engage the aspect of your brain that is less developed, you're going to gain spiritually, humanly, energetically, emotionally, mentally, and physically, because you're going to be clearing, without you realizing, you're going to be clearing blockages to a very important aspect of your brain. So remember, this left brain, right brain hemisphere problem is also part of the split of duality, why we are in this dimension split from the wholeness of who we are. And so dowsing, at least the way I teach it, is highly, highly, highly important. Dowsing in ancient times was part of the mystery teachings, and people needed to learn this, whether they were using a pendulum or they were using other type of biofeedback mechanism, they were still into dowsing. We still had to to feel the radiations, to feel the vibrations. Everything in life is emitting a radiation. So to be able to read these radiations is going to help us in many things in life, not only, you know, for the 5G or, you know, geobiological things, or whether this is good for me or bad for me and so forth. It is actually, you know, a very ancient art, and it is very, very, it was highly precious at the time. And what I'm trying is to bring it back to this level, at least in my humble, you know, capacities, to give it the right position that it needs. And finally, the other aspect of this course is pendulum healing. So pendulum healing is if you want, something that is relatively new. Well, you know, maybe it's 50 years old or 60 years old. And it's the art of being able to perform energetic corrections, energetic healings or transformations by means of using a pendulum that has either a particular vibration, either it has a particular radiesthetic color that is being used to perform a change, or because the pendulum has a specific shape, and by the shape of the pendulum, when in touch with your energy field, with a chakra, with an organ, with a gland, with a problem that you have, will induce a change. So this is another art. It's another way of working. And so what I'm trying to teach in this course is these three aspects: mental dowsing, vibratory radiesthesia, which is totally different, and then finally the combination of both things, focus into pendulum healing to help you harmonize your life, harmonize your space, harmonize your relationships, and so forth. So this is it.
Thank you very much, because people have continually asked, you know, Walt, more so than myself, dowsing in pendulums. And to be able to offer a service like yours that says, here's somebody that, you know, obviously somebody we can trust, who's going to give you information that you probably can't get. I'm sure you can't get anywhere else. So I can just point them to you now instead of trying to, Walter, here's another question. We'll just make people yeah. go to you, learn it, then work it. Because the more magic you work, the more magic humanity sees.
Well, the thing is also in the course, I am offering as part of the course a one-to-one session. So you can watch the videos online, study the manual, do the exercises, and then you can have a one-to-one session with me. So we will go over, you know, any questions you may have. So I'm not abandoning the student. You know, they're going to be coached to a certain degree in time. So that's also something.
Derek, are you there?
And let me unmute. Yeah, I was actually chatting, and there was a few people. There were some audio issues going on. I'm actually just fascinated by everything Barbara's saying. And I was chatting with somebody, with Susan in chat, about the level one course, and she was just thrilled to do it and likes it. So I was telling her I'm going to do it myself. But there are audio issues, as well as kind of talking to them in chat as well.
What was the audio issues?
It sounds like they probably got it working, but just some browser conflicts. Who really knows? So I reposted the alternative reality radio link so they can hear the simulcast on that website if they have issues on cosmic reality. But yeah, it sounds like it's working its way out.
We have to look at that, because this is the second time, and I think we could have a bandwidth problem.
Oh, maybe. And then and chat room issues too. It's like kicking me out, so I'll have to look at that. But maybe we can move the other chat room over. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
I'm more interested in Barbara.
Okay, listen, guys, we have another question, which is Wendy. Wendy's saying, Barbara, what are your thoughts on ingesting shungite powder mixed with food, liquid, or honey? So my answer, I think Nancy's going to, or Derek, are going to answer better than me, because I haven't taken, shungite powder. I can tell you that I have taken sacred Hindu ash internally, and this is something that has been done, you know, in the Hindu tradition a lot, And it has also very similar reports to what Shanghai would be doing. And also you have the experience of charcoal powder, which is also carbon substance powder. So these in the folk remedies since ancient times, they have been using charcoal as part of ingesting it internally to produce, you know, a healing response in the body, mainly removing toxins. So I can't comment on this because I haven't done it myself with Shanghai. So, but if the bees are taking in the powder and, you know, they're responding pretty good, why not?
I can tell you we've, so I have an elder dog, and I've told the story before, but now it's, I don't know, probably three or four animals I can think of from friends and personal ones that we have given the Shanghai. So Shanghai honey would be the form that we've given it, of course. And I'm talking about our pets. So they'll line up daily for their, little dosage of Shanghai honey. And I just get a little toothpick and I get a small amount out of there. A few drops worth, and then just give it to each animal. And then what it's done for the elder dog is it's just basically rejuvenated him. He's had great response to it from visually, meaning his vision. So he had a cloudiness to his eyes that went away, to his just mobility and getting up and seemingly reverting back several years. And that's been the norm with any of our animals. If we're talking about older ones, we've given it to. And then I've had, actually, a naturopath doctor friend of mine give it to an ill cat of his with great results too. So that'd be the form that we've given it to animals and whatnot. It worked out really well.
They actually put powder in various like cows and pigs and chickens and put it in their feed, and they've had real good responses from that. As far as people taking it internally themselves, you don't need it much. You know, you don't have to take teaspoons of this. If you feel the need to do it, you know, be very conservative on what you're taking into your body. And I say that because even though we are getting our powder directly from the mine, there's nothing dangerous or anything about the powder. It's still been manufactured. It's still gone through a process of tumbling to get the powder. And anytime you do that, you really have to make sure that when you're working with it, your intent is to clear anything out of the shanghai that really shouldn't go into your body, like metal pieces of little teeny metal that is microscopic. It's not going to hurt you, but you don't need it in your body. So, you know, just ask the shanghai before it even internally goes into your animals or yourself. You know, clear anything that just might happen to be in you. Oh, okay, so they'll just transmute it. You know, be proactive and also be very careful about the powder. You know, who you're getting it from. Because you can't test it. That's the question we get is, well, how do you test the powder? Well, you can't test the powder with the flashlight test because it doesn't conduct. It's not compressed enough to conduct. I'm right on that, right? Derek, yeah.
So
you have to make sure that the powder that you've got is absolutely certifiable from the mines in Karelia.
I want to add to that. We've started collecting the powder ourselves here because we do have a larger amount. So what I've done is, and I've told Nancy a little bit about this, but we, just from what she's saying, the processing, there are metal particulates and other things. And even because we've bought in Shanghai or purchased it by the pallet, when you get it to that amount, look down in the boxes of nuggets and parts and pieces, we're finding Russian cigarette butts in there. We're finding all kinds of things because of where the stuff is collected and how it's been processed. So it's at some point, you know, scooped up from the ground or whatnot. So, well, we cleaned it, whatnot. But then what we're collecting is, so on our end, we take the shanghai that's just with shanghai, not a big steel machine. And as it gets moved around and shooken and whatnot, the powder comes off of the bottom. So long story short, when we're done, at the end of the day, and not technically a day, but we can collect our powder from the bottom and keep that to where it's not been gone through a manufacturing process. And we've begun doing that in addition to keeping and collecting the powder that's in our cosmic silver tumbled nuggets, which is not, it's not tumbling in a metal, it's a metal tumbler, but the inside is lined. So it's not, in fact, it's lined with a deep coating of shungite powder now after the many uses. So it's just a, the powder we get from that is from the shungite bouncing off itself and other pieces of shungite, not a bunch of chains or links or machinery driving over it sort of thing mixed in. So we do, we are doing that as well, I want to point out. But I agree with Nancy on being just really cautious of where you get your products, your shungite nuggets and or powder. And then she's right, you can't test it. Even when it's put in to a resin form like we do some of our pendants in diamond or heart-shaped or a teardrop, you that's not going to pass the flashlight test where you put it between the battery and the spring of the flashlight and turn it on. It won't conduct, but it is actual shungite in there. So I don't have a really way of testing the shungite powder, but be cautious, like she's mentioning.
Do we have another question?
The last question was for you, Nancy. Can you change? Can you please share the names of the songs you play during your breaks?
Hello? Yeah, we might have to. She might be muted. We might have to get a list of that going because there's even the one today. I think it was the Imagine one. So we may have to put a. It's difficult sometimes when they ask for past shows of trying to find the show and then find the spot in there and get it all up. But that's a good idea. I'll try and get a section of past played music and whatnot because that makes sense.
Julia Weston, John Lennon song Imagine.
Let me write that one down.
Julia's and their last name is spelled Westlin. Yeah, we can do that. I'll send you the music playlist and you can just put it up on a. Something and people can, listen to it and decide whether they want to download it or whatever. Well, we can't download. We will get copyright problems.
I will put a link to them.
Yeah.
So basically, these are the questions that I got.
Okay. Let me open this thing up. Where did I put it? Okay.
And I did share her website in the chat so people can... get there, go there and take a look around. There's just a plethora of information there I'm looking at now.
Okay.
Also, maybe people are, surprised saying, well, why is she doing these healings? So let me just give you some feedback. I normally work on a one-to-one with my clients and so forth. And lately, I'm not even doing these sessions because I'm on some kind of holiday. I'm having a big break. I'm not giving one-to-one healing sessions for the time being. I'm focusing in developing pendulums, developing my courses, and so forth. And so because I also feel a call of supporting the collective, in my Facebook pages, I was offering a free group healing sessions. I think I have been doing this for at least 2 years now. So now and then, internally, I feel now is the moment to do this session. And so I'm intuitively, receiving the message to do something in particular or to focus in a particular thing and offer the healing for everybody who signs in. So I was doing this, for these last 2 years. And it happened when I went to your group. I just asked Shangite, what do you want to do? And the message was to do these three healings. So this is why, these healings have happened. Because it is unusual. Normally, a healer will do a one-to-one session and it will be private, not so open, not for the whole of humanity. But somehow, whether Shangite is bringing us to this collective level of doing healings that, can benefit humanity. Because if we are truly one, well, the benefit that is going to be for one person can be offered to the rest of humanity. So I wanted to add this so that people can understand why this is happening.
Okay, one of the things that you did post is putting shungite in your ears.
Uh-huh.
Can you explain that? Because there was,
people interested. Basically, I was playing with the little nuggets that you sell, the small ones, the small version. And I just put introduce without pushing, okay? I wasn't pushing. It was just sitting in the earlobe, these two shungites, one in each ear. And because I'm very, I wouldn't say clairaudient, but this is one of my main, you know, senses. And I'm sensitive to frequencies. And what is coming into my ears and out of my ears, I could really immediately feel the sense of peace. And there was a kind of recalibration inside my ears on a frequency level. And there was an exquisite sense of, you know, calmness, like a balm of relaxation in my ears. Possibly because we are, you know, totally immersed in these Wi-Fi wave frequencies. But by putting these two nuggets, there was suddenly like this great stillness. And it was like as if I had advanced, you know, five steps in my meditation, because I could be in this point of inner silence very quickly. And, you know, kind of my ears relax. And as my ears relax, my brain relax. And then I also put another nugget in the top of my crown head, you know, at the level of the fontanelle up there. So I did a triangulation with the two nuggets in my ears and then the one up there. So there was a whole triangle in my brain, which also helped, you know, just relax the brain activity, the brain waves. And it was very pleasant. And I've been doing it, you know, at nighttime when I finish my work, I just put these two nuggets. Sometimes I do the triangulation, but maybe I just do the two nuggets in my ears. And it's like giving myself a remedy, you know, a medicinal remedy for my ears and my, you know, maybe whatever.
Well, I didn't have any of the small ones, Derek, okay? So she's reminding me of this. So I just reached over and I took some of the big ones and I put them inside my headphones.
Yeah.
So, wow.
You know, and they're cold.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
go ahead.
Oh,
no, I was going to say the small ones. I'm glad you brought this up, Nancy, and then Barbara talked to you about it. I know we're running out of time here, but when I heard about this, Maureen and I were sitting here and I just happened to have an earache for the past 12 hours or so. And I did. I was getting a little bit nervous thinking, oh no, hopefully it doesn't get worse. Of course, all of a sudden I hear Barbara talking about this and I have a little, and it's mine just happened to be in front of me because we're doing some of the giveaways on the Cosmic Silver Nuggets, small ones. So I had my personal one sitting here. Just so people know, I'm not going to be shipping them. One was in my ear. I actually picked this little guy up, put it in my right ear only. I didn't do the triangulation like you did. Later, I actually put one on my third eye. A whole nother story there. But in this case, I thought, oh, that's interesting. I hadn't tried this. And I sat there, and it had the immediate effect. And again, my wife, Maureen, was sitting next to me, and she knows now to go ahead, and when I start doing something, like just go ahead and just watch and see if something happens or – So what it did for me, I'll get to the physical part in a moment, but I don't even know how to explain this one. Energetically, so when I stuck it in there, it was literally like, and I just pushed it halfway in, so maybe a half an inch of the nugget, and again, a small bucky size nugget, we call them, extra small, just pushed inside of there, and it was smooth because this was a silver tumbled one. Immediately, it was like I plugged in. I started hearing frequencies and sounds in my ear, and I showed Maureen, because she was watching me. I said, now, hang on just a second. And it lasted for well over a minute, which was really unique as well. And these were all good feelings and frequencies, if I can simplify it that much. So it wasn't like grab it, yank it out. It was painful. It was, and I don't like the term, but it was downloading sort of feeling and all of that. And then an integration, which would be in the next step. So it wasn't just like a download. It was like an integration or activation, and I'm not big on all these terms as people that know me will attest, but that's what happened. And it was, and I'm only bringing it up because it was so drastic and immediate right after, again, me hearing Barbara say, hey, try this. And I did that. And then on the physical level, well, the earache's gone. I'm wearing headphones now. So by the next morning, and that was in the evening, I'd completely forgot about it because, again, the earache was gone. So on the 3D level, it did that as well. And I hadn't given it much more thought after that until you just brought it up. It's just kind of how I go. 100 miles an hour straight forward. But it was immediate and really drastic and absolutely positive when I did the nugget in the ear. And then really quickly, I'll be quiet in one second. I took the one, I didn't do triangulation in the second ear, but I did do the third eye. And that was, I get a lot of visuals. I'll just be vague on that. So what that did for me was focus that channel a whole lot more. Took out the static. So I wasn't in between channels in my terminology here, analogy. It did a whole lot of focusing for me and adjusted my rabbit ears, let's say, on the old TV sets where we all had aluminum foil on the ears. When I put that up to my third eye and I did have the one in my ear, my rabbit ears got adjusted to where they needed to be, and it was clearer picture. So that's my personal take and what happened to me that just the other day.
That is amazing, because also you were possibly picking up the frequencies of life, the sound of life. So we could be actually playing around, meditating on putting these nuggets in our ears and entering in meditation and tuning into the vibrations of the sound of life. And we could be in for a whole new chapter in Shanghai, really.
Okay, but we got to go on the record and say that we are not responsible if you get a Shanghai nugget stuck in your ear.
Yes, you have to be very careful.
Very careful. Put them in the heads. Get a nice little pair of headsets. A lot of people have them. Put it inside the headsets. Then it's not, you're not going to have the problem of getting it's there. A bug hits you and you go whack, and all of a sudden you got the thing in your, you know, you can be careful, but you got to put it in headphones. Works great.
Okay.
I'm higher than a kite.
Just hold it near the ear.
I can feel a connection between the two, the Shanghai nuggets in the headphones. It's fun.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun. Okay.
Yes.
Another thing that I want to catch on right now is somebody was talking about the shoes being really bad for people. And I think that they should probably, we should probably let people know about that. Do you remember that discussion about not grounding? It was a Facebook post.
Are you talking about to me or Derek?
No, to you.
Yes, someone was mentioning, I think I read today, about the shoes and how the how do you call it? It's not plastic. What's the name? The rubber of the shoes are disconnecting us. And it's not only the rubber of the shoes, it's the rubber in the wheels of our cars are disconnecting us. And so we become very electric. We are electromagnetic beings, and we need to have a strong connection to Earth, because not only, you know, symbolically or because we love Mother Earth, but because all the toxins that we have in our system, we need to be able to flush them down into the Earth. This is something that all animals, all living beings do naturally, but human beings are the ones that have rubber shoes, rubber cars. Even the houses, the homes that are being built are very disconnected from the earth, or people living in apartments in the level, I don't know what, of your apartment, and you don't have a very strong connection to earth. This is affecting your elimination system, how you eliminate the toxins, because there is no proper grounding. So I know that you guys have the and I'm curious to know, because I haven't tried it, the stickers to put in your shoes. Have you tried that? How is it going?
I've tried that, and my wife has tried that, and several doctors where she used to work at a medical clinic, just countless people now. And it works great, not just for grounding, but for think of there's a whole toroidal energy flow, and boost that. So when you get your intent and whatnot worked into that and focus, then it'll basically affect that as well. And as far as grounding, it's great. Use it in not only our shoes, but in a bed. And so you can put it, say, under your pillow or mattress as well.
Yes. Awesome.
Yeah,
That's so important.
If you just use the sticker, what happens is that it wears down. But if you have, I understand, expensive shoes where you can pull up the inner sole, you can put an S4 sticker in there, and I recommend S4 over the Bucky Band-Aid. You can put an S4 sticker in there, and then it's protected. Just remember when you change your shoe, you got to, you know. So then we made the laminated ones. And those you can just put in any shoe that you're going out, just put the laminated one in it, and it's not going to deteriorate, and it's thin enough that you're not going to, it's not going to bother you in your shoe. The other thing is the shungite rubber. Now you just came out with some discs. What's the new one? Because they were all excited because they could put it in their shoes. Derek, are you muted?
It's the It's the shungite, and I was standing up. Shungite rubber, the oval ones. Is that what you're asking about? The
right,
round,
smaller ones that you can just right. You can just put them in your shoes now, right?
Yep, they work real well right under the arch of your foot or in the heel or even in, as people are putting in high heels even, because they're about 2-inch diameter circle and they're a little bit thinner. So they work really well in your shoes.
And why don't you guys make shungite insoles? You know, like you cut the size of
we
your
tried
foot.
That. No, it no, we tried. We've tried everything to do that. But there's a lot of problems. That didn't work. What we have now is what the best we can offer you at now, right now.
Okay.
Yes, it's ideal if we could get to be able to make these things that way, but very expensive, and you can't just, we tried to treat those, you know, that you can buy them, and then you, we tried treating those, and, well, Derek wore them one time, and all the shungite powder virtually came out of them and was in his boots. Remember, Derek?
Yeah, it didn't work out too well. Durability issues there because of the wear.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
But what we're telling you now is, you know, yes, they work. These are highly been, I mean, I will tell you one thing. Shungite rubber in your shoes, you have got to be cognizant of it, because I have lost more pieces of shungite that was in my shoes. I don't know where it goes. And your wife actually had one of the laminated ones in her shoe, remember? And it came out, Derek?
Oh, yeah. Mine did yesterday. Oh, yeah. I actually looked yesterday in a pair of boots, and one of mine's missing.
Wow.
Like, okay.
Now, we do have, shungite does tend to disappear. If all of a sudden your shungite seems to have disappeared, well, somebody else needed it more than you did, maybe. Or maybe it's going to come back. But the shungite rubber, I gotta tell you, it's, when you take your shoes off, make sure you think about that and secure it. Because sometimes I think, well, maybe I took the shoe out and the rubber came out too, and it's someplace in the house, but I haven't come across it yet, you know, that type of thing. But, yes, I agree. Grounding is so extremely important. And the shungite, now the other question we get, Derek, is do you put it in both shoes or one? And I say one. Now, two is better, but, well, I'm not sure two, I don't know if two is better, but one will create the field that you need to do all the, what we're talking about from the standpoint of enterology and grounding and everything else. But there is reflexology involved in it. And what reflexology is working with the soles. And just like your body, each of the soles has, you know, responds from a reflexology concept. And that's basically tied in with energy in the body, acupoints, everything else. Maybe that balancing is needed. So I don't know what to say about that. Maybe you can ask Shungite. Ask Shungite.
Okay. Yes, I am asking, actually, because I have, you remember from the first show that I have connected my antenna to Shungite. So today I have had the connection with Shungite open. So I'm asking Shungite, what is, you know, do we need one or two? And it's saying one is enough. If you want to have two, of course, that's the merrier, the better. And where shall you put that? If you are a left-handed, your left foot would be the ideal place for placing it. It's the incoming of the energies. That's where you have the shungite.
Yeah. Can you clarify that? Because in most people who are right-handed, the left hand is the incoming. The right is outgoing. If you're left-handed, it would be reversed.
Well, from a bioenergetic perspective, the energies are coming from your left foot when you are right-handed.
Okay.
And so the energy is coming in, And so you want to have the shungite to be filtering things. So that is the filtering action.
So you want it in your left shoe.
But, you know, if you are someone who is a dowser or you use kinesiology or any other way of asking, just ask, because you could be different than me. I always tend to ask for my clients, where do this person needs something? And so I'm not, you know, going by the book. I'm asking, you know, so ask in which foot do I – so, for instance, I'm going to ask shungite, where do I in particularly need to put it? In the right? No, I'm going to – for the left, definitely very strong response for that.
Thank you. Thank you, shungite. Thank you, Barbara. And we are out of time. But you're going to be back with us next week, Barb?
I don't know if I'm invited and if people like my presence and are not falling asleep and so forth, maybe.
Hey, own your power. Own your, you know, don't put yourself down. Yes, of course they want to hear more of you. Of course you're invited.
We don't know.
I know. Derek, okay. You want her back?
Absolutely. Always welcome.
See
that? Okay, thank you very much.
So people.
No, thank you.
Get your questions ready, you know.
And also we want to listen some feedback. If you have claimed this healing session, whether this has made a change for you or not, that can also be, you know, very nice. And we will keep on asking shungite, what is that you need, you know, for next week? What is going to happen? What, you know, let's go with the flow. Let's see what shungite wants us to heal or to know or to uncover. Discover.
Awesome. All right, then. I thank you, Derek. I thank you, Barbara. I thank our listeners. I thank the Galactics, our spirit guides. I'm just very thankful to Source. Anyway, anything else?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
No, appreciate it, Barbara. Thank you very much.
See you next time. You have been listening to the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you for being here. Be safe.